Folks, where we're kind of picking up today is where we finished off in many senses last Sunday, Easter Sunday. But actually in the Gospel of Luke, in the resurrection stories, we don't actually physically meet Jesus. We meet people who have met Jesus, but we don't meet Jesus himself until where Matt read. And thank you, Matt, for that was a long reading. So thank you. Michael Card, in his little commentary, says this: in order to fully grasp the amazement of Easter morning, you must realize that no one was expecting Jesus to rise from the dead. No one. The disciples were not expecting what happened. Last week, chapter 26, or 24, verses 1 to 6, the women came to open the tomb. But as we discovered as well, actually, when we're thinking about Joseph of Arimathea, the Holy Week reflections, the tomb was just a staging point, if you like, the crematorium, then before the burial or scattering of ashes. The tomb, Jesus was placed there for a period of time till his body decomposed, and then his bones would be gathered. So the ladies were going, because of Friday and the immediacy of Sabbath, they couldn't anoint his body. So the women headed in an act of worship to embalm Jesus properly. They got to the tomb and they just wondered what was going on, because the door was opened and the body was gone. And the witnesses, two angels, appeared and said, well, what were their words to the women? He is not here. He is risen. He is risen. Verse 6, second part, remember what he told you. He would be raised, verse 7. And then they remembered. It was like all the pieces fell into place. And in wonder, they came back to the disciples hiding in the upper room, and nobody believed them. Their wonder was not one of amazement. Their wonder was one of doubt. Peter, though, he ran to the tomb, saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, went away wondering to himself what had happened. We finished last week thinking about wonder and what it means. Wonder can be doubt. Oh, I wonder about that. Not at all. Or, I wonder, I want to dig and delve more into that. Or, the delight of wonder was the wee TikTok saying, absolute wonder day. Because it's amazing. It's just going to celebrate and delight in the joy and amazement of something so good and positive. And now we come to the Emmaus Road. Who are the couple? Two men, possibly. Some scholars think it's a man and wife that are walking on the road. Why? Well, they've heard rumors of resurrection, but they've ended up saying, you know what? Don't believe it. And they're heading 7 miles down the road away from where all the stories are happening. And they head back down the road to the village of Emmaus. Folks, look at their condition. Verses 13 onwards. They're heartbroken. Their hearts are broken. Verse 1 says they're going 7 miles to Jerusalem. That's their direction. Verse 2, their conversation. They're talking about everything that had happened. You ever do that in the house with your wife or husband? Just talk them stupid. And they are just talking as they journey. Their hearts are broken. They're heading the wrong direction. Look at verse 17. As this stranger comes up and walks with them, not only are their hearts broken, their heads are down. Their heads are down. They stood still, their faces downcast. Folks, again, have you ever felt like that? Life is tough. And my heart's broken, and my head's down. Verse 21, their hope had gone. We had hoped that he was going to be the one who was going to redeem Israel. We had hoped, but that hope had gone. So We're going the other direction. We've given up. My heart's broken. My head's down. My hope is gone. I'm out of here. And I love this passage of Scripture, because in that condition, in the midst of their confusion, their frustration, their disappointment, their heartbreak, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Verse 15. Get that? Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing. Some would say because they were heading into the sun, and so with the glare, they couldn't quite see him. And they weren't expecting, again, Michael Card, in order to fully grasp the amazement of Easter morning, you must realize that no one was expecting Jesus to rise from the dead. He was the last person they expected to see. So whether it was some mysterious, mystical reason, or whether it was just purely the direction they were going and the glare of the sun, they didn't recognize Jesus. Their eyes were closed to who he was, but this conversation ensued. Verses 15 and 16, we read these words. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Verse 17, he asked, what are you discussing together as you walk along? Well, they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem, and you don't know the things that have happened there in these days? What things? Jesus asked. Now think about that. Did he do it with a wee smirk? What things? I mean, I'm actually at the center of it. But he wanted them to talk. Their eyes were closed. They had lost sight of Jesus. The message puts it like this in verses 16. They were not able to recognize who he was. Their minds, folks, were clouded. In the conversation, as Jesus chats and talks with them, walks on the road, he discovers their minds are clouded. What things, he says? Well, about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God. And as the creator of the universe is walking along beside them, they have pegged him as a prophet, as somebody who was powerful before God. They didn't actually realize that he was God. And he walked with them on the road. Their eyes were closed. Their minds were clouded. Folks, look down onto verse 27, because then their minds are blown. Their minds are blown. Beginning with Moses, the law, and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures, get this, concerning himself. Can you imagine that conversation? Can you imagine that journey? Again, Michael Card in his little book says, the greatest Bible lesson of all times, and yet we have not a single word. It was the greatest Bible study of all time, and all we have is, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them all that was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Do you remember, folks, in our Holy Week reflections, did Jesus start way back in Genesis about the fall and about the seed of a woman who would be born, who would have a baby that would strike the head of the serpent and crush it? Did he start in Genesis, in the proto-evangelium, if you remember all that? Did he start way back with Abraham and Isaac? Do you remember the picture of the father and the promised son walking up the hill for a sacrifice? And God himself will provide a lamb. Did he go there? Did he go to the Passover and the blood that was to be sprinkled on the doorposts and the lintel, and death would pass over and freedom would come, and Christ himself, our Passover lamb? Did he talk about the scapegoat and the day of atonement? We're having competition now, Ellen. This is good. Don't be worrying, Emily. Don't be worrying. Did he talk about Abraham, or did he talk about the scapegoat? The Day of Atonement that the Jews were to celebrate every year, where two goats were brought by the priest. One was sacrificed, the other was sprinkled with blood and then taken to the wilderness and let go, known as the scapegoat. And through sacrifice, one would know freedom. Did Jesus talk about this with Cleopas and his friend, possibly his wife? We don't know. Did he talk about Isaiah 53, the great suffering servant, the one who would not open his mouth? All those passages that we looked at over the Wednesday in different weeks in the last wee while. We don't know, but we do know. Then you will know the truth, says Jesus, and the truth will set you free. And as this couple walk along the road, their condition heartbroken, heads down, hope gone, now in conversation with their eyes closed, their minds clouded, now we see their minds are blown. And from a condition of heartbreak, through a conversation, there is transformation. Suddenly, verse 31, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Their eyes are open. Verse 31, when did that happen? When Jesus broke the bread at supper. They had invited the stranger in to have supper with them, for it was late. And as Jesus breaks the bread, I wish I could click my fingers properly, their eyes were opened. The mystery, the clouded mind was gone. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. They said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us as he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us? So their eyes were opened and their hearts were on fire. This couple that stood still, their faces downcast, now their hearts are beating within them. Do you ever remember, have you ever heard the little story? Charles Wesley, the great hymn writer. There's another Wesley, I'll be very happy. There's a Methodist mentioned this morning. Charles Wesley going to a Bible study. He experienced for the first time an assurance that his sins were forgiven. And he famously wrote in his journal, now this is way back, 24th of May, 1738. In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street where someone was reading from Luther's preface to the Epistle of the Romans. Sounds riveting. At about 9:15, while he was describing the change which God works in the hearts through faith in Christ, he says, I felt my heart strangely warmed. And I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sin, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. I felt my heart strangely warmed. These disciples here say, were not our hearts burning within us as he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Their minds were cleared. Verse 35. And folks, we don't even begin to get this. They're 7 miles away, or they're now actually in Emmaus, but they turn on their heels in the dead of night and they head back to Jerusalem. Nobody with any ounce of wit would do that for the danger of bandits on the road in the dark. What do they talk about? The Windy Hill Road, the Murder Hole Road. You just didn't do that in the dead of night, but their hearts on fire. They think, we need to get back to tell the disciples the rumors are true. Their minds are cleared. The two got back, and what does it say? They told what had happened on the road. They told about the scripture, and they told about the sacrament. The scripture, what happened to them on the way. As this stranger broke the bread of life with them in the Word of God, and then he was recognized in the sacrament as again he broke the bread. They recognized him. At the meal, strangely, says Dale Ralph Davis, the guest becomes the host. They're invited in, but Jesus is the one who takes the bread and breaks it. Folks, for you and I today, do we know that transformation? Our eyes open spiritually as we prayed at the beginning in those two songs. Our hearts on fire with the Word of God living in us. Our minds cleared knowing who Jesus is and what He has done for us. And can I say, as we come to a conclusion, what is your condition this morning? As we gather for worship, and we know within Ballywillan Church family this has been a painful year, and hearts can be broken and heads down and hope gone through loss and bereavement. But in that, Jesus wants to meet with us. He wants to speak to us. He wants to open up His truth and the Easter hope to us and bring transformation. So for you today, what is your condition? What is your conversation with the Lord? And do you recognize, rejoice, return, and recount all that God has done? While they were still talking about this, verse 36, Jesus Himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Folks, can I say to you, whatever your condition, whatever you're walking through, whatever your journey, whether hope is good or hope is gone, Jesus wants to walk with us. He wants to bring us His hope and His transformation. And true Christianity is an encounter with the Founder. Have you had that encounter with the Founder?